Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our February sermon series is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. The first week, we talked about how Jesus is the friend of the hurting. He's the one who brings healing into our lives. Last week, we remembered that Jesus is the friend of the friendless. He's there for us when we feel alone. And today, we focus on the fact that Jesus is the friend of sinners. Now, the religious leaders of Jesus' time loved to criticize Jesus and complain about him. Even though Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience to God and perfect love for other people, they still attempted to try and destroy Jesus' reputation. If he healed someone, they would complain that he did it on the wrong day. They tried to criticize and trap Jesus, and they loved to criticize Jesus about the company that he kept. They would say things like, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And that was true. The religious leaders didn't like it, but Jesus is truly the friend of sinners. Jesus loves sinners, Jesus welcomes sinners, and Jesus eats with sinners. Let's talk about the first one first. Number one, Jesus loves sinners. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. That's our text today from Luke chapter 5. I love this text. The calling of Levi the tax collector as one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Only a few of the 12 get a special mention on how they were called to be a disciple of Jesus full time. Only a few of them get origin stories. But one of those is Levi, who would later become known as Matthew. The same Matthew our church is named after. The calling of Levi is given special attention, and no wonder. It is absolutely shocking that Jesus would call a tax collector to be part of his inner circle. Of all the different occupations people could pursue, no occupation had a worse reputation than tax collectors. Why? Well, let me share with you three reasons why. First of all, it's in the name. Nobody likes paying money to the government. The name is tax collector, right? Nobody likes paying money to the government, but it's worse than that. Second, tax collectors were traitors. They were Jews who worked for the Romans. They were the Benedict Arnolds of their day and were treated as such. Third of all, tax collectors were, almost without exception, thieves. They took advantage of their position to steal money from people. It's no wonder that the words tax collector and sinner were used interchangeably in the days of Jesus. There wasn't much people could agree upon in those days, kind of like today, but everyone agreed on one thing. Everyone hated tax collectors. Everyone, that is, except Jesus, because Jesus is the friend of the friendless. Jesus is the friend of sinners. Yes, Jesus is even the friend of the tax collectors. And this annoyed the religious people to no end. Jesus calls to Levi, "Follow me," and Levi leaves everything and follows Jesus. He's so happy to be friends with Jesus that he throws a party. And guess who he invites? The only kinds of people who'd be friends with Levi: tax collectors and other sinners who had been rejected and hated by society. And Jesus is glad to accept that invitation because Jesus is the friend of sinners. Sinners like Levi. Sinners like Levi's friends. Sinners like you and me. One thing the Bible makes perfectly clear is that sin is not confined to one group of people or one occupation. All of us are sinners, 100% of us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one who does good, not even one. Jesus is the friend of sinners, and Jesus came to earth to save sinners. Jesus came to earth to die for sinners. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. Now make no mistake, Jesus hates sin, but he loves sinners. In the same way that Jesus hates leprosy, but he loves the leper, Jesus hates sin, but loves the sinner. And he came in order to cure people of the worst disease of all, sin. That's why he came to earth. And that's exactly what he did through his death and resurrection. Jesus does it so perfectly. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. He comes to heal all of us from sin through his grace and his forgiveness, given to us on the cross. He is the doctor and healer we truly need. What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus doesn't just love sinners, he also welcomes sinners. Number two, Jesus welcomes sinners. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them, Luke 15, verse 2. Those are the words of the Pharisees from a different time in the Gospel of Luke, and they're still annoyed that Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. They accuse Jesus of welcoming sinners, and Jesus does not deny that. In fact, I think he heartily accepts that accusation. Jesus definitely welcomes sinners. The Bible tells us that tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. Luke tells us that there was a large crowd of tax collectors and sinners who were at Jesus' table. Jesus welcomes sinners and doesn't turn them away. What good news that is for sinners like us. Jesus welcomes us and does not turn us away. He is the friend to sinners like you and me. If we repent, he welcomes us into his house, he welcomes us to his table, and even welcomes us to his family. Jesus welcomes us so that we can welcome one another. In fact, that's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 15. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Just as Jesus welcomed us, we are to welcome others. We can do that by loving people and inviting them to be part of church, part of the family of God, inviting them to worship service, inviting them to Sunday school, inviting them to Bible study, inviting them to youth group. We can invite people to come and hear about Jesus, to hear about how Jesus is their best friend. We can't change anybody's hearts. We can't make anybody believe. All we can do is introduce people to their best friend, Jesus, and be welcoming. We can invite, and when they come, make sure that we welcome them. Be as welcoming as we can be. Welcome one another, just as Christ has welcomed you. Jesus loves sinners, Jesus welcomes sinners, and finally, Jesus eats with sinners. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Luke 5:30. Jesus welcomes us to his family, to his house, and to his table. The Pharisees asked, "Why do you eat and drink with sinners?" Jesus loves sinners. Again, let me be clear. Jesus doesn't love sin, but he definitely loves sinners. Eating in Bible times was the highest form of fellowship. It was the way you showed somebody that they were truly friends, people whom you loved. In America in the 21st century, it's still the highest form of fellowship. If you invite someone over to eat at your house, it is a powerful way of telling them that they are loved, that they are welcome, and they are your friends. Jesus eats and drinks with sinners because he has exactly what they need. As he says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. It's not the righteous who need a savior, but sinners like you and me. We need exactly what Jesus offers to us, forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. And Jesus invites us to his table today to receive those same gifts of forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Matthew 26, 26 through 28 says, Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." We are coming to the table of the Lord today, not because we deserve to, but purely out of the mercy and love of our best friend, Jesus. We come as sinners, repentant sinners, who need the forgiveness of sins offered in those words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Martin Luther said that he who believes in those words truly understands what the Lord's Supper is all about. And when we partake of the meal, we receive exactly what Jesus promises, his body, his blood, and his forgiveness. Just as the hymn says, "I come, O Savior, to your table, for weak and weary is my soul. Lord, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good. Amen." Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.